my motto, No Child Left Indoors, is really important to my heart. It's so great to get kids out into nature, yet the current generation of Western children usually get put in front of a computer screen to see nature more than they do experiencing it. So I feel in some ways as a scientist that I need to compete with that. I need to figure out how can I entice kids outdoors.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hey, my name is Meg Laumann, nicknamed Canopy Meg. I am one of the world's first arbornauts, admittedly, meaning that I actually climb up to the top of trees to make discoveries and to work really hard on conservation and getting girls into science. So welcome to Sylvia and me.
Meg, thank you so much. This is going to be very interesting. Canopy Meg, you've also been called the Einstein of the treetops by the Wall Street Journal and the real-life Lorax by National Geographic. You have a deep, deep passion for trees and forest conservatory. Let's see, you've been involved in forest canopy science, and we're going to get into that. Groundbreaking work in 46 countries across all 7 continents. You've chaired 5 international canopy conferences. You've authored over 150 scientific publications, and you've authored and co-authored many books on forest science and sustainability. Can we first go into, you call yourself, or you have been called throughout the world, Canopy Meg. You're a global pioneer in forest canopy ecology. Can you tell us what you mean by canopy ecology, forest canopy? Why do you use the word canopy?
Sure. Well, first of all, I was just a very geeky, shy kid, and I don't even know how I ended up being a pioneer in forest canopies, but I did love trees. I grew up in the temperate forests in the northern part of New York State, and I was so shy that I loved to go outside and play because trees don't talk back, they don't bully you, and so on. And when I kept on working and working as a biology major and then an ecology graduate work study and then a botany PhD, I really didn't think girls could be scientists because in our generation, they mostly weren't. But I just kept on studying it. And lo and behold, I realized that foresters for about 200 years had only looked at the bottom of a tree. And if they looked at the top at all, it's because they had cut it down, meaning the birds had flown away, the bugs were all squished. And it just was very logical, practical information to myself to think, wow, nobody's ever studied the whole tree. So I ended up designing a toolkit to get up into the tops of trees. And lo and behold, that's how I discovered that so many things live up there. And the treetops is called the canopy. So I became one of the world's first canopy biologists.
Okay. And as you said, you came about this because it gave you something that took you away from any of the bullying and what young girls were supposed to do. You found something else to do. And in doing that, your passion, as I just said a few minutes ago, is getting girls out there, getting girls involved in science. And I've talked to a number of scientists, and usually when we talk about girls being in science, climbing treetops is not in the top 10, or actually I've never heard of it before. My naivety, but since I'm afraid of heights, I don't think you'd find me climbing up a treetop. How do you even, so you became interested in it, you realized that there's so much to be learned from the tops of the trees. How do you expect to get the word out there to young girls to say, hey, look, you can do this, and it's quite interesting.
I guess for me, one of the craziest things is I did do something really different. So maybe that does make me a good spokesperson to girls. I feel very passionate, to use the word you mentioned, about getting more girls in science, mostly because I was so disenfranchised. Everybody told me, no, no, no. And I worked in cultures like Australia, where women didn't do anything outside of the household as a convention. So it made me all the more determined to help girls now. And to be honest, you don't need a lot of strong muscles or to be very athletic to climb a tree. You just need to use the right kinds of gear. And over time, I even helped invent these skywalks or treetop canopy walkways that you can go out there with a stroller or a walker, or, you know, you can just kind of tiptoe along and it's not too dangerous. I promise you, Sylvia, you would be just fine. So again, trying to create methods that were inclusive for more people was a big part of my sense of trying to share my science with girls and with perhaps less, athletic people along the way. So it's been a kind of an amazing journey to think about trying to make science more inclusive and also making the discoveries in the tops of trees, since nobody ever had gone there before.
Okay. And as you said, education. And one of the things that you're driven to educate leaders about the value of trees. So you talk to CEOs, you talk to directors, you talk to politicians. Tell us how you even decided that this was something that, top down, you went from bottom up top, and you're looking to educate leaders. So it's top down, so that their knowledge that you're giving them will then eventually spread. How did you start that?
First of all, very shy. It took me years to even dare to get on a podcast like this. So, dogged, just practice, practice, practice. But the issue is, in science, unfortunately, we are rewarded and trained to talk to each other and publish in technical journals that very little of the public ever reads. And it just dawned on me that this was probably not the way to conserve forests. Do you know that in my lifetime alone, 50% of the world's primary forests have been cut down? It's such a terrible track record. And especially as a scientist, it makes me sleepless to think about that. So obviously, new pathways have to be forged. And so I felt strongly that the biggest influencers need to be communicated to. And guess what? It turns out that in business school, they don't learn the value of a tree. And in corporate worlds, they don't usually put trees on the budget sheets to value how much they're worth if they're trying to expand their property or if they're polluting the water and the air in terms of making a product. So somehow, somewhere, we need to educate people who are in the leadership role. So it's really, really important, I think, for more scientists to communicate effectively to those folks that are making a difference in the planet and probably were never taught that in business school.
No, I would say they probably haven't. And as we're talking, one of the things that you do in what you talked about is championing awareness about how forest conservation is critical to the survival of humankind. And so from that and from talking, you've become a sustainability consultant for green business initiatives. One of them, I guess, is the Tommy Hilfiger Corporate Foundation, the Rolex Foundation Corporation, and the Habitat Penang Hill. So sustainability, green business, now you're talking, you're not just getting businesses and educators aware of how important this is. You've gone even a step further in being an advocate and really getting involved in green sustainability and how our lives are affected by the population and the survival of the trees around us.
That's so true. You know, trees are really a multi-million dollar machine that doesn't even need much maintenance by humans. They do these incredible things that we would have to pay so much money to replicate. As I learned by being one of the world's first arbornauts, trees house 50% of species on the planet. That's huge. That means medicines, pollinators, cures for diseases we don't even know about, important species that are part of food chains that really end up leading to human health. And so it's incredible. They store carbon. When we pollute carbon dioxide, they pull it in. They cleanse our water supply coming through the canopy foliage. They keep our soil healthy. They even keep the soil from drifting down rivers after storms because the root systems are important. They provide us with foods like chocolate and oranges and cherries, and they provide us with timber. So it's just this amazing piece of machinery. They cool the climate. We found out now that trees are such a big part of the climate change solutions. If only we would leave them alone. But trees don't talk. They're not quite as sexy as dolphins or chimpanzees. So trees do need a voice. And I guess that's where I decided I had to be a voice for the trees.
Well, that's great. And you actually, you pursue this bottom-up conservation activities. You go into communities. Tell us a little bit more about what you do in order to get, when you say, you know, bottom-up conservation activities.
Right. So whereas we just discussed about how the forest decision-making is often at the corporate level at the top, the real conservation does come from bottom up. Local people need to develop trust. They need to make money from their trees. They are too entitled to have an income and a living, especially women. And so I've learned along the way that by working with local people and gaining their trust, that's the best way to really save trees. And one example might be the forests of Ethiopia, where I've developed a unique partnership with, of all things, the Coptic priests over there, because the last trees remain in the churchyard, and we call them church forests. It's a cluster of trees surrounding the church because the priests feel they are the stewards of all of God's creatures. But by gaining their trust, we've shared knowledge. I've showed them the Google Earth images of how Ethiopia has been cleared and how much land is now deforested, which the priests didn't know because they don't have computers or access to technology. And so together we're building beautiful stone walls to surround these churches. It's kind of like saving the Library of Congress or the Louvre Museum. These little tiny forests contain all the bugs and all the animals and all the birds left in the country. So they're critical for the future health of all Ethiopian kids. And together where I'm fundraising for those walls and they're building the walls, and we have this unique partnership, but it's all because of trust. And other countries are similar, where we can't just go in there as white people basically and say, save this forest, and then walk home again into our air-conditioned homes. We need to provide income for the families, and we need to provide education and understanding to help everyone save forests. It's a real environmental and social justice issue because in some ways conservation is usually for the rich. The wealthier countries can afford to save resources, but the poor countries can't. And I think we all have to do our part to recognize that.
Well, in 1999, you co-founded and serve as the executive director of Tree Foundation. The mission to link underserved children to nature and promote tree research, education, and exploration. In 2020, you launched Mission Green, and with your vision and goal to build 10 canopy walkways in the world's highest biodiverse forest by 2025. And it partners with renowned oceanographer Sylvia Earle, who founded Mission Blue to save ocean hope spots. And you focus on rainforest biodiversity, hotspots. So you've really taken this to a step that is, as you say, it's global, it's hitting all countries, it's hitting all seven continents. You call the tree forestry the eighth continent. And between educating and actually understanding the needs, and as you said, not going into a place as, you know, oh, look, you know, I know everything. I'm, you know, a nice white woman. I'm going to go in, I'm going to help you, yada, 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 and, you know, leave and go back to your air conditioning. You work with them. You get them so that they are able to do this on their own. You work within their community. You get to know what their needs are, what their passions are, and what will help them be sustainable and help them fight this climate crisis, which we have. You talk about one of your personal mottos or goals, no child left indoors, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Can you explain?
Sure, I can talk about that. So, you know, way back in 1999, I did found a little foundation because the local people in Florida wanted me to build a canopy walkway. I had helped design the first one in Australia. And when I came back from Australia to the U.S., some folks heard about it and they said, gosh, we want one in Florida. So we fundraised, the whole community got involved, from Rotary clubs to the Downtown Association to fifth graders doing bake sales, and built this little walkway. Lo and behold, it's resulted in about $30 million of revenue a year for the greater region, about a half a million visitors to our little state park. And suddenly here was a model where the forest alive and well was actually providing income without cutting it for timber, without creating malls or shopping centers. And so then we started replicating that. There's a walkway now in the Amazon. There's another walkway in Malaysia. And it kind of dawned on me over time that not only did these walkways get all the school kids out into nature, which is, of course, my motto, as you mentioned, but it also could provide a revenue and a sustainable income for families, and especially for women in indigenous villages. So that's kind of been the starting point for Mission Green that I did found as a big project for the Tree Foundation in 2020. And the 10 by 10 by 10 is, we want to raise $10 million to build 10 canopy walkways and save 10 forest canopies, which is, of course, this genetic library with all these species, and employ 10 to the second power, which is 100 women and families, and get 10 to the third power, 1,000 students and young students, college students and grade school students, out into the canopies to make new discoveries, because we know that most forests are very unexplored in their treetops. And so kids can discover new things, which is incredible to excite girls in STEM.
And the other goal that you have from this is where women and Indigenous families can earn a sustainable income from ecotourism rather than from logging, as you mentioned, not timber. So where are you at with this?
Sure. And one great example of that is our walkway in the Amazon, which before COVID had hired 100 families with a good income, and it's fantastic. Now they're still trying to return to that state of ecotourism health. We need more families to visit the Amazon in Peru and go to the treetops and enjoy it, which is fantastic. So that is one of our 10 walkways in the Mission Green program. Of those 10 sites that have been scientifically determined as having high biodiversity and being endangered forests, we have a walkway open and running in the Florida subtropical forests. We have one in the Amazon, which is great. We have one in the Malaysian rainforests, another high diversity endangered forest. We have one in the redwood forests in California, and we're designing and fundraising now for one in Madagascar, an amazing country with lemurs and hundreds of other species found only in Madagascar, yet they are 95% deforested. So it's a really urgent cause to fund our walkway in Madagascar. We are halfway there in $1 million budget, and we just desperately need help with the other half to get our engineering team out to Madagascar and build this walkway. The national parks there have embraced it. The locals are so excited about having lodges and restaurants surrounding this area where they can have successful ecotourism. So we really hope to see that through this year and by next year at the latest.
Okay. I usually don't do this, especially, you know, in the middle of the conversation, but I don't want to lose sight of this. Where can, it's such a worthy cause and so necessary. Is there a place where people can donate?
Thanks for asking. Yeah. You can just go on www.treefoundation.org and press the donate button, and it's easy as pie, and you can specify it for Mission Green without a problem. And thanks so much for even offering to let me say that on your program.
Oh, please. You've educated me so much in just the time that we've been talking. I'm not one for walking out that much into meeting creatures of nature. But I am learning how to, you know, really get out there. You now have a new focus, but you've partnered with a social media platform. It's called Voyager, which I did ask you how to pronounce it because it's not spelled that way. It's a nature-focused social community. Can you tell me why be a part of this? What is the goal of this platform?
Sure. I think, first of all, as I mentioned, and you also reminded me, my motto, No Child Left Indoors, is really important to my heart. It's so great to get kids out into nature, yet the current generation of Western children usually get put in front of a computer screen to see nature more than they do experiencing it. So I feel in some ways as a scientists that I need to compete with that. I need to figure out how can I entice kids outdoors. Canopy walkways are one great way. And this new app is another way. Instead of criticizing social media, maybe we can join the party, so to speak. And I was approached by the Voyager team, which is headquartered in Hong Kong, to say, would you serve as the chair of what they call their Heroes of the Planet? They picked about six of us to be role models with me as the chair. It includes Sylvia Earle, the oceanographer, Bob Ballard, who discovered the Titanic, Kathy Sullivan, who is the first woman astronaut. And so as the role models, it's my job to just basically kind of chime in, and kids hopefully over time will join and sign up for this free app called Voyager, where they can explore outdoors. They can ask a question, why do the red maple trees turn red in the fall? Why do the birds nest in the beech tree but not in the pine tree? So all kinds of questions. Nothing is too small or too large. And then the kids go and take pictures and they make answers. And the Voyager team is hoping to use ads to beef up their product and make some money that will turn into a fund where we will be giving away scholarships to lots of kids to address their research, which is really exciting. And Apple will be endorsing Voyager on Earth Day, so watch for that. And hopefully more and more kids will turn to that app as a way to use social media to also learn about science and explore the planet, which seems to be a great combination.
And Voyager is spelled V-O-I-I-J-E-R.
That is correct. You have to find it with the correct spelling on the App Store.
Meg, when you're not climbing trees, what do you do?
Oh, Gosh. Well, of course, I used to love raising my two boys, but now they're grown up and married, so I have a couple of grandchildren. I can teach them to climb trees. I love to cook. I love to read. I am an author as well. I'm still working on a couple new books, including a youth version of my latest adult book called The Arbornaut, to talk about my life's adventures. And I'm excited to get that down to the level of middle school kids. And I love to go into nature. I still like to go bird watching and visit the treetops. I lead a lot of trips for National Geographic and my college alumni and try to share nature as much as I can and as often as I can.
Meg, where can people find out more about you?
They can go on my website, canopymeg.com. They can get the book, The Arbornaut. And the last chapter does talk about Mission Green, my project that I hope to complete before I'm in the grave. And they can also learn about all the crazy adventures of a shy girl going into science. And so I look forward to hearing from them. I do a lot of Zooms for schools. And so that's kind of a nice avenue to get kids involved in nature too. So I hope to hear from some of your audience. That would be great.
Meg, I want to thank you so much for being with me here today and talking about a topic that's not only very important, but exceedingly interesting. So thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome. Now go out there and enjoy your big trees while you can.
Thank you for joining me today. If you liked what you heard, please share it with another person you think would be interested. And if you haven't already, please subscribe.
This has been a Life of Prey production.